A good Friday morning to you and welcome. It's Health Steps from Ennis Regional Medical Center. Always glad to have you tuned in, and we've got some very pertinent information for you this morning as we have Ms. Teresa Mooney, Quality Director at Ennis Regional Medical Center, joining us to talk about staying ahead of the flu. Teresa, how are you?
Doing pretty good this morning.
Sure is good to have you with us too, and let's get the word out. I mean, people always wait, but I know you want to right away encourage folks about flu season just around the corner. Let's start off, Teresa, with a very basic question. What is the flu and who gets the flu?
Well, the flu is a respiratory illness. It is a virus, and everybody that is exposed can get the flu.
Everybody.
Everybody.
No one is immune. There are some folks that make it through season after season for whatever reason, but everybody is potential carrier of the virus. And obviously, I guess the more exposure there is around you, there's certainly the greater chance of you getting the flu. But what are the peak times for the flu? Let's start off by saying in the United States, and then in particular, we can talk about Texas.
Well, too. Texas and the United States are both. The flu peaks about December, and it starts to decline in about March. So from December to March is when we see the highest patients and the highest flu count.
And I know that we said that everybody is susceptible to the flu bug, but are there some folks that maybe are at higher risk of getting the flu than others?
There is. The immune compromised patients and people who've had comorbidities like heart disease or diabetes or going through chemotherapy, they're at higher risk because their immune system's so low.
And that really kind of stands to reason. And you see a lot of folks, maybe you've heard stories of people who are coming off of just what they thought was a cold, and then all of a sudden it's full-blown flu, and they think, well, maybe I had it all along. But a lot of time it's because they had a compromised immune system that they were able to pick up the flu.
That's
in addition,
right? That's right. One of the other things I'd like to add is that with the immune compromised and a lot of, and like you were saying, they thought they had a cold.
Right.
The flu, you're contagious with the flu the day before you run a fever.
Oh, yeah.
So so if you've got this cold going on, that's when you don't want to go around anyone that has a immune compromised or you're worried about them. That's when you don't want to go see your brand new grandbaby.
Exactly.
Or you don't want to go visit your kid's school. It's because if you're not for sure that is it a cold or a flu, then you want to make sure that you limit your exposure to anyone.
Certainly better safe than sorry, right?
That's right.
And the truth is, I know a lot of people feel like they're just fighting through, but you're not doing your coworkers or your family members any favors by being around them if you think or know you have the flu, because it is so contagious.
Yep.
Right?
I've
heard for years, and by the way, we're talking with Teresa Mooney. She's the quality director at Ennis Regional Medical Center, and she's joining us on Health Steps this morning. People have talked about pros and cons of getting flu shots, and we've heard all the stories. The only time I ever got the flu is when I took the shot, or I'd have had a bad reaction. Let's talk about those. Are there pros and cons to getting a flu shot?
The pro is that you will have a lessened. If you do get the flu, you will not have a lengthy flu. Now, the con, in my standards, there's no cons.
That's
it's
right.
It's all, you get the flu shot, you decrease the exposure to your family members, to kiddos, to schools, to, you know, if you come to the hospital, you expose all the patients and employees. That's why outbreaks get started, is because we don't take the prevention of getting a flu shot.
I think, Teresa, we found out last year, and in a way, I think it was a good thing, that there is a difference between a not-so-bad case of the flu and a really bad case, because we had a flu vaccine that just was not quite as efficient as keeping us safe from the strain of flu we had last year. But they were saying just what you were talking about. Hey, but if you get this shot, if you do get the flu, it won't be as bad. And a lot of people found out that was the case. So instead of being in bed for a week or 10 days, at least they had the shot and maybe they fought through it a lot quicker.
And they do. I think you're right that last year with the antigen that, you know, the flu shot didn't cover, but you 3 days or 4 days compared to 2 weeks or even right. death. You see a lot of flu patients that die because of the flu, and that is preventable by taking the flu shot.
And you mentioned that, and I know we certainly talk about people who are more susceptible to it being dangerous for in our elderly community as part of that. Is there a different type of flu shot that our elderly listeners should be getting as opposed to what anyone else should get?
The regular flu shot, the elderly should, anybody that's over 65 should get a flu shot. There is what they call a high-risk flu shot, and it has 4 times the antigens than the regular flu shot. But any flu shot is better than none at all.
So if you get the high-risk, okay, but if you can go to a place that's offering a flu shot and it may not be the high-risk shot, still get it. You're better off having that than nothing.
That's right.
And then last year, we were talking about last year again, I don't recall ever, at least personally, knowing as many people who had infants who got the flu as did last year. It was kind of crazy. But let's talk about children because they're kind of on the other end of that spectrum of susceptible to the flu, and especially kids who are in school and they're inside. So what about children and the flu shot and what's available for them?
The flu shot is available for anybody that's 6 months and older. They do have the flu mist out there at the doctor's offices, but that is for 2 years old and older. Mm. It works just the same as the flu shot, but a lot of the physicians are staying with the flu shot because of the one reason, the flu shot, they know that it is going to work. It's going to prevent the flu. And that because you're sending kids, 30 kids in a classroom, if one gets the flu, mm-hmm. everybody's going to share it.
So is there some question then on the mist as to its success as compared to the flu shot? Is that what you're telling us then?
CDC stopped the flu mist last year because it wasn't effective.
Right.
They brought it back this year because they've revamped the antigens in it. So it's just as effective as the flu shot.
And that's available only for 2 and older, but 6 months to 2 years, they'll have to get a regular shot.
Regular flu shot.
But still advised.
Yes.
And I know at some point they always tell us after, and unfortunately I guess it's after people start getting the flu, before then, we can't really know what strain it is going to be. I mean, they kind of give a good guess, right? But really have to start seeing what people are picking up before they know
the strain is. The way the CDC does is they look at the previous strains that in the past, and they develop the flu shot over what they've seen in the past. So
that's why last year threw them kind of a curveball, mm-hmm. didn't it? Because it wasn't like anything that we'd had in a long time. And it just kind of worked its way around that much.
Yep, that's what it did.
You know, the 30% effectiveness, but there's just no way of knowing for certain. But again, keep in mind, as Teresa's telling us, you're better off having it and it being 30% effective than 0% effective if you don't get one at all, right?
Right.
Let's talk about where people can get flu shots. You know, in this day and age, it is very... readily available, but let's talk about how folks can go about getting their flu shots.
Well, like you said, it's very relevant. The flu shots are available at drugstores, at the hospital, physician offices. A lot of employees now are paying for the flu shot for being preventive measures. Mm-hmm. So a lot of the physicians and the insurance are paying preventive.
I was about to say, a lot of insurance now is covering as preventative medicine. And again, mm-hmm. why not pay for the price of a flu shot and not have to pay for the whole process of caring for somebody when mm-hmm. they get the full-blown flu? And let me tell you, if you've ever had it, and you know it's worth getting that shot because it's a bad deal. There are so many other things that fit into it, but I guess the bottom line is, Teresa, you better, I like to say it because it works on so many different things, better to have it and not need it than to need it and not have it.
Exactly. That's a good one.
If someone, the final question we'll ask you before we let you go too, if someone has the flu or they've already had the flu and they didn't take the shot, is it a good idea for them to go ahead and get the shot even if they've already had it, because I know a lot of people think, I've already had it, so I'm not even going to worry about it now. But you can actually have the flu more than once.
You can have the flu more than once. And a lot of the physicians are recommending, if you have the flu, to go on and get the flu shot, because it takes 14 days for the flu shot to become active in your system, to start being preventive of getting the flu. So getting that second round or that first shot after the flu works perfect.
And this is a good time to do it, because the season really hasn't set in, but the shot will keep you safe through the season. And so if you go ahead and get it now, you don't have to fight through the lines, or you don't have to worry about there being shortages. And so when you see people offering them, it's a good idea just to go ahead and get it done.
Oh, yes.
Well, we want to encourage you to do that. And, of course, we always invite you to check out what's going on with our friends at Ennis Regional Medical Center by going to their website at innisregional.com. And you can always call 1-855-875-ERMC. That's 1-855-875-3762. Teresa Mooney, Quality Director at Ennis Regional Medical Center. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
And be sure and tune in every other Friday on KBEC for Health Steps from Ennis Regional Medical Center.